Don't miss the biggest Maytag sale of the year at Lowe's. You'll find the Maytag appliances you need, when you need them, at a great price. Plus, when you buy two select laundry appliances, you'll get up to a $100 bonus via instant rebate. Shop Maytag at Lowe's. We help, you save. Offer valid through 531. See store for pricing and offer details. Advertise savings on all major Maytag appliances through Maytag.com and participating retailers. Prices may vary. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Dead America. Gunrunners, Part 2. By Derek Slayton. Chapter 1. Day 0 plus 50. A couple of hours had slipped away since Cillian embarked on his reconnaissance mission to Horseshoe Bend. Inside the conference room, a group of soldiers grew restless, awaiting the moment when their convoy would be ready to move. Sergeant Alvarez, a seasoned leader, loomed over a table, his gaze fixed upon a map detailing the surroundings of Boise. A well-worn highlighter had traced their intended route in vivid yellow. The path appeared straightforward, a few turns down familiar side roads leading north into Horseshoe Bend, the last destination marked on this map. With Cillian taking on the role of an unexpected scout, Alvarez felt a measure of reassurance. Though he had just met Cillian, the sergeant sensed a survivor spirit in the man, or at least he hoped for it. Any other outcome would mean dealing with a runner, a situation they could ill afford. Alvarez shook off the thought, knowing that more significant threats loomed. The shadowy militia group had menaced them for weeks, their numbers and capabilities largely a mystery. Yet the few encounters they'd had revealed a highly trained and well-armed adversary. One thing was certain, they coveted the ammunition factory they currently occupied, and they likely kept a vigilant watch for the day when the crucial transports departed. Glancing at his squad, comprised mostly of 20-somethings specially recruited for this perilous mission, Alvarez found solace in their potential. Corporal Fisher, his trusted second in command, had proven himself resourceful during their past deployments. Privates Henderson, Wallace, and others had joined them just before leaving Seattle, adding an air of uncertainty to the team. Robertson and Bradley, imposing figures with signs of battles past etched into their features. Acosta, an attractive mechanic, held her own in a uniform predominantly worn by men. Leonard, a tall, bald black man, stood in stark contrast to Hubbard, a country boy with a laid-back demeanor. Despite their limited acquaintance, Alvarez placed his confidence in them. They'd all volunteered for this apparent suicide mission, demonstrating their mettle. Despite his lack of field time with them, Alvarez felt confident in the troops in his squad. Nobody volunteered because they wanted status. They volunteered because they wanted to be there. Rank and pay no longer mattered in these trying times. Rations were the great equalizer, from privates to General Stevens. As Sergeant Alvarez returned his attention to the map, Corporal Fisher approached him. "How's the run looking?" Fisher inquired. "Shouldn't be too challenging getting up to Horseshoe Bend," Alvarez replied. Fisher scrutinized the map. "What about the surface streets here? Looks like we're going to have several choke points, perfect for ambushes." "We may not know much about our enemy," Alvarez mused, "but I doubt they're foolish enough to attack us this close to the rest of our troops. We've got hundreds of miles to cover. They won't risk it here." "So where do you think they'll strike?" Fisher pressed. Alvarez flipped the Boise map over, revealing a larger one of Idaho. He drew a line from their current position in western Boise, past Horseshoe Bend and up the main road, leading north, stopping in Cascade. "That's where I'd hit us. Two bridges. Water on one side. Nowhere to retreat." "Let's hope you're right," Fisher replied. "Are you in a hurry to be ambushed?" Alvarez quipped. "No, but I'd at least like to know when it's coming. Less ambushy that way." They shared a chuckle, but their moment of levity was interrupted by the crackling of Alvarez's radio. "Sergeant Alvarez, come in," Cillian's voice sounded. "Done already, Cillian?" Alvarez asked. "Yes, sir," Cillian confirmed. "You have a clear path through town, along with directions." "Good job. We're running behind schedule, but we'll be out shortly and headed your way. Copy that, Sergeant. I'm on the move to the next stop. Be safe. And we'll be in touch. Alvarez responded before stowing the radio. He glanced at Fisher, who shrugged. Looks like the kid might come in handy after all, Alvarez remarked. Let's hope so. We have our hands full without having to babysit, Fisher replied. We're sending him into highly infested areas, Alvarez continued. If he's not up to snuff, we won't have to worry about him for long. This is true, Fisher agreed. Kowalski, one of Captain Kersey's men, knocked on the door and entered. Hey, Sergeant, we've got you ready to roll out here. About time, Fisher remarked. Thank you. We'll be right out, Alvarez said. Kowalski nodded and exited the room. Alvarez turned to his troops, who were gathering their gear and preparing to move. Looks like it's showtime, he announced. Alvarez led his group out of the room, moving with the determined stride of soldiers on a vital mission. Their presence in the factory caught the attention of the workers manning the machines, who exchanged curious glances, wondering about their purpose. The group proceeded to the back of the factory, where three mid-sized moving trucks awaited them. Kowalski stood beside one with the door wide open, revealing an interior packed with boxes of freshly manufactured ammunition. These crates were stacked from floor to ceiling, except for a cleared-out section in the middle, where makeshift seating had been created from boxes. Safety straps surrounded the seating area to prevent injury in the event of sudden maneuvers. Kowalski briefed Sergeant Alvarez on the convoy. All right, Sergeant. Here's your convoy. All three trucks look just like this, loaded down with somewhere north of 300,000 rounds. You can ride with three in the cab, but we have a spot carved out for the rear gunner. He demonstrated the rear gunner setup, which included a cutout hole in the back of the door with a sliding flap. I know what you're thinking. No, we're not getting our security deposit back, but figured you might like a gunner port out the back. I can see how that would be useful. And don't worry, with the way we're going to be driving these things, you weren't going to be getting your security deposit back anyway. Alvarez replied with a wry grin. A sergeant after my own heart, Kowalski chuckled. He continued, we also added an extra layer of armor to the walls, going to be a little harder on the fuel, but figured whoever was back here might enjoy not being torn to shreds in an attack. Private Hubbard chimed in. Not to mention all that ammo potentially being ignited. Happened once in a convoy I was in over in the sandbox. It was not a good time. Well, we aim to please, Kowalski quipped. Sergeant Alvarez inquired, how are we on fuel? These are the mid-sized trucks, so they have 40-gallon tanks. We do have them filled up, so you'll be good for a while. Each truck also has 2 5-gallon cans right behind the makeshift seat, Kowalski explained. Only 10 gallons a truck. That's not going to get us very far, Alvarez observed. Sorry, Sergeant, but fuel is at a premium these days, and watching 150 gallons roll out of town is rough, Kowalski replied. Fair enough. Now we just have to sneak out of here without them getting wise to it, Alvarez mused. I believe we can help with that, Kowalski said, producing a radio. Bring them around, Kowalski ordered. A smile adorned his face as 9 more trucks of varying sizes appeared around the corner, halting just in front of the loading dock. Multiple decoy teams, gassed up and ready to head out in every direction besides the one you're going in, Kowalski explained. You could have had those vehicles already sitting out here, Alvarez remarked. Yeah, I know. But it's more dramatic this way. Makes me feel like a game show host revealing the big prize, Kowalski replied with a grin. Alvarez chuckled and shook his head. So when are they heading out? Whenever you give the signal, Kowalski answered. Do we have eyes on their scouts? Alvarez inquired. The ones that we know about, Kowalski confirmed. Okay. Send 2 teams now. If the scouts head out, then we'll move. If they don't, then we'll wait 30 minutes and send the rest of them out with us, Alvarez decided. You got it, Sarge, Kowalski acknowledged, relaying the orders over the radio. Four trucks sped away from the loading docks, each heading in a different direction. The group stood in suspense, awaiting further information. Some soldiers discussed their seating arrangements in the back, with one group resorting to rock, paper, scissors to decide. Moments ticked away, tension building as they awaited news. Finally, the radio crackled to life. Watcher 1 checking in. Scout in Quadrant 1 has not moved, a voice reported. Copy that. Watcher 2? Anything? Kowalski asked. Negative. Scout in Quadrant 2 has not moved, came the response. Okay, keep an eye on them, Kowalski instructed. The radio went silent as Kowalski shook his head. Looks like they have more than one strike team at their disposal. Not surprising, given how important this delivery is, Alvarez remarked. We'll do our best to get you out of town quietly, Kowalski assured. Corporal Fisher seized the opportunity to ask an important question. Since we have a few minutes, why don't you tell us what kind of party favors you have for us? Obviously, we have all the ammunition you could ever use. We also scraped together a handful of grenades and a couple blocks of C4 with remote detonators, Kowalski said. Private Henderson asked, what about dumb detonators? Why would you need those? Kowalski asked. Corporal Fisher chimed in, puzzled. That's an excellent question. Why would we need those? We're not going to be using the C4 with tripwires. We might have to. And frankly, I'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it, Henderson replied. I still don't understand why in the world we would need it, Fisher questioned. Sergeant Alvarez interjected, because letting the enemy capture it is far worse than detonating it. A heavy silence settled over the group, a sober acknowledgement of the grim possibilities. This mission was potentially a suicide run, and they needed to be prepared for every eventuality. Okay, I'll get some tripwire and dumb detonators, Kowalski conceded. Alvarez took charge once more. We're leaving in 20. You all know your roles. Stay focused, do your job, and we're all sleeping soundly in Seattle in a few days. Now let's get it done. The soldiers nodded, and the tension hung thick in the air as they made their final preparations for the perilous journey ahead. Chapter 2. Sergeant Alvarez sat in the passenger seat of the lead vehicle, his eyes scanning the surroundings, the world outside blurred by a sense of tension and uncertainty. Private Henderson was behind the wheel, and Robertson occupied the back seat. Alvarez reached for a radio, his fingers deftly operating its controls. Radio check. Corporal, you copy. Alvarez's voice carried an air of authority and vigilance. In the second vehicle, Corporal Fisher responded promptly. He sat beside Leonard, who controlled the wheel, and Bradley occupied the rear. Lock, stock, and ready to rock, Sarge, Corporal Fisher replied confidently. Alvarez nodded in approval. He knew he could count on Fisher. Then, it was Acosta's turn. Acosta, seated in the passenger seat of the third vehicle with Hubbard driving and Wallace in the back, responded with a touch of sarcasm. While not nearly as enthusiastic as the corporal, we are ready to roll out. Corporal Fisher couldn't resist teasing. What's wrong, Private? You're not excited about a road trip. Acosta's reply was laced with humor and mild cynicism. Maybe if we were going someplace fun like Vegas. Nobody ever got excited about driving 500 miles just to go to Spokane. It's like getting excited by a new Supercenter sweater your grandmother gave you for Christmas. While, yeah, sure, it's technically a gift, but nobody in their right mind would want it. Laughter erupted over the radio, but Fisher continued. Hey now, Supercenter has some decent fashion these days. Acosta couldn't resist poking fun at Fisher. I'm starting to understand why you're single, Fisher. The radio chatter continued, with Hubbard joining in. Whenever we stop for the night, make him tell you about the time he hit on the bartender in Germany. Acosta played along, guessing it didn't go well. Hubbard chuckled. There's scarring, not just the emotional kind. Amid the camaraderie, Alvarez interjected, gives me something to look forward to. Okay, here we go. Stay on my tail, 10 yards apart. The only reason you stop is if I stop. Let's roll, Alvarez said over the radio. Once he delivered the message, he tossed the radio onto the dash and gave Henderson a smack on the arm. Henderson signaled to the other vehicles beside them, and the convoy began to move. One team of two trucks rolled out first, taking a hard left turn onto the road, while Henderson led the way with their vehicle, leaving one more team behind as a decoy. As they hit the road, Henderson made a right turn, and Alvarez consulted his map, playing the role of the navigator. 2 miles up, and we're turning right. Half a mile past that, it's a left on the main road for a while. Private Henderson acknowledged with a crisp, "You got it, Sarge." The convoy maintained a steady speed, navigating the turns as they came. Alvarez kept a vigilant watch on their surroundings, taking in the sight of numerous houses, buildings, and abandoned cars. Alvarez couldn't help but express his concern. "Oh, I hope I was right about them." Henderson asked, "About who, Sarge?" "About the militia," Alvarez replied, his thoughts casting doubt on the situation. "There are so many ambush points, and we're only a few miles away from base." Alvarez's words made Henderson grip the steering wheel tighter, but the sergeant attempted to reassure him. "Relax, Henderson. I'm not wrong all that often." Henderson eased up a bit as Alvarez glanced at the map once more. "Hang a right in half a mile. Then it's pretty much a straight shot to Horseshoe Bend." "You got it, Sarge," Henderson confirmed. Alvarez put down the map and resumed scanning the area for potential threats. To their surprise, they exited the populated areas without encountering any armed resistance. Once they were outside that danger zone, Alvarez allowed himself to relax. There was open space in every direction, diminishing the risk of an ambush. After a few minutes of relatively uneventful travel, Alvarez opened the glove box, revealing a handful of CDs. He suggested, "Are you good with a little traveling music, Henderson?" Henderson was open to the idea. "Whatever you like, Sarge." Alvarez selected a CD and inserted it into the player. "How about some classic rock?" As the first guitar chords reverberated through the vehicle, Henderson began to nod his head in rhythm. "Yeah, I can get behind this." The two of them enjoyed the music for the next hour as they continued toward Horseshoe Bend. When they were within a mile of their destination, Alvarez signaled Henderson to slow down. "Go slow until we get a view of the bridge," Alvarez instructed. Henderson obeyed, taking a slow and deliberate approach until the bridge came into sight. Alvarez reached for binoculars, carefully scanning the area as Henderson came to a stop. Alvarez examined the bridge through the binoculars, noticing that the barricade cars had been moved aside, and there were no zombies in sight on the bridge. There were a couple of them in the grass on the side, but none obstructing the bridge or road. Henderson asked, "How are we looking, Sarge?" Alvarez offered up the binoculars. "Take a look for yourself." Henderson observed the clear path and reported, "Looks like that kid is doing his job." "He just might be a keeper," Alvarez remarked. "Okay, let's move up, just not too fast." Henderson acknowledged the order with a simple, "You got it, Sarge." The convoy proceeded cautiously, maintaining a speed of about 10 miles per hour. Despite the apparent safety, they didn't want to take any unnecessary risks. As they crossed the bridge, Alvarez kept his assault rifle ready, his gaze sweeping the horizon. To the left was a school, and to the right, a small neighborhood. A few hundred yards ahead, they spotted the other bridge with a few zombies scattered about on it, not yet aware of their presence. As they passed the bridge, Alvarez's attention was drawn to the school on the left. A small group of zombies clustered around one of the classroom windows, actively trying to break in, as if in pursuit. "Does that look weird to you?" Alvarez asked, his tone filled with suspicion. Henderson glanced over and noticed the unusual scene. Looks like someone got in there and wasn't as quiet as they wanted to be. Alvarez grabbed the radio once more, a sense of caution settling in. "Keep your guard up. It looks like someone's been here recently, and I'm not talking about our man." Sergeant Alvarez continued to fix his gaze on the school as Private Henderson sneaked glances in that direction, anxiety building within him. "Henderson, if I tell you to go, then I want you to punch it. Just watch for a turn up ahead." He said that there was. Before Alvarez could finish his sentence, chaos erupted. Bullets tore through the front windshield, shattering the relative calm of the moment. Henderson grimaced in agony as a bullet struck his shoulder, splattering blood across the cab of the truck. "Hit the gas," Alvarez commanded urgently. Despite the searing pain, Henderson followed the order, flooring the accelerator. Alvarez reached over, seizing the wheel and making a sharp turn. More bullets pummeled the side of the vehicle as they veered into a nearby neighborhood. They came to a halt a few houses down, now in the midst of the neighborhood. Alvarez grabbed the radio, his voice laced with urgency. "Strike team, go! Drivers, be ready to move on my mark." Alvarez turned his attention to Henderson, who was examining his shoulder wound. The sergeant assessed it quickly. "It went straight through. You're going to be fine. I'll get Robertson up here, though." Henderson nodded in acknowledgement as Alvarez stepped out of the truck, weapon at the ready. Moving swiftly to the back, he found Corporal Fisher and Private Acosta taking cover by the side of the truck, their attention focused on the school. Corporal Fisher inquired, "Where did the shots come from?" Private Acosta added, "I'm not seeing any movement at the school." "It was straight ahead of us, across the bridge," Alvarez reported. Corporal Fisher asked, "How do you want to play it?" "We need eyes on the target," Alvarez replied. Private Acosta suggested, "One of these houses might work." Alvarez was about to give Acosta specific instructions when a sudden burst of gunfire erupted from the back of one of the trucks. Bullets tore through a nearby house, leaving holes in its wooden exterior. Fisher was the first to react, raising his weapon and aiming at the point of impact, near a window. A figure emerged from the window, brandishing a firearm and aiming it toward them. Without hesitation, Fisher squeezed the trigger several times, rounds piercing the glass and striking the man's chest. Alvarez and Acosta immediately aimed at other nearby houses, ready to open fire if any more threats emerged. Meanwhile, Fisher approached the window, weapon at the ready, moving cautiously. As Fisher neared the window, he heard wheezing, coughing, and groans of pain coming from inside. He leaned his head closer to the window, only to swiftly duck back as the gunman opened fire, narrowly missing him. In response, Fisher fired through the wooden exterior of the house. A horrific scream emanated from inside, indicating that the target had been hit. Listening carefully, Fisher heard only deathgasms and saw the man's legs twitch before going limp. The threat had been neutralized. "We're clear," Fisher reported. Alvarez, however, couldn't resist teasing Fisher. "I thought you were a better shot than that, Corporal." Fisher examined the body and noticed something. "My aim was dead on. He just had a bulletproof vest on. High quality one if it stopped these rounds." Private Acosta remarked wryly, "Hidden, well-armed, and well-protected. This just keeps getting better and better." Alvarez headed to the truck he had been in, knocking on the back of it. "Robertson, get behind the wheel." Private Robertson exited the back of the truck and inquired, "Is Henderson dead?" Alvarez delivered the news. Round through the shoulder. "He's just going to be hating life, but he's not going to be able to drive." Private Robertson assured the sergeant, "I'll take care of it, Sarge." Alvarez assigned roles to the remaining team members. "Bradley, Wallace, you keep watch. Do not leave your positions. they acknowledged with light knocks from inside the other two trucks. Alvarez moved toward the front of the house, just one block away from the main road. He glanced down the street, observing zombies milling about, attracted by the noise. He also saw movement on the bridge they just crossed. Fast, agile movement, not the slow shuffling of zombies. "Damn it," Alvarez muttered to himself. The bridge they needed to cross was flanked by two rows of houses. Several zombies lurked in that direction, along with some additional threats. Alvarez couldn't detect any other movements. "We're in the thick of it now," Alvarez acknowledged. "They have our flank covered, so we're not going back the way we came. We're going to have to push on, but we need to take out that shooter first." Corporal Fisher inquired about their plan of action. "How are we playing it?" Alvarez decided on their next move. "I'm on point. You two cover my ass and keep an eye on the houses we move past. We're getting into a house that's riverside and going sniping."
Lowe's knows you want the best for dad. This Father's Day, help him take on any project with big deals on DeWalt. Right now, get a free XR 8 amp hour battery when you buy select DeWalt tools. That's not all. Get up to two free select tools when you buy a select DeWalt 20 volt max battery kit. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a work load is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
Chapter 3. Sergeant Alvarez led his group through the small neighborhood, every member holding their weapon at the ready, their vigilant eyes scanning every house they passed for potential threats. As they approached the next to last house on the row, a sudden burst of gunfire erupted from Private Acosta. Startled, both men turned their attention to the source. "Contact right," Private Acosta shouted. Sergeant Alvarez wasted no time. "Pin them down and keep moving." Acosta and Fisher continued to fire toward the window that had caught Acosta's attention as they sprinted toward the final house on the block, situated near the corner of the main road. Alvarez, fueled by adrenaline, reached the back door and delivered a powerful front kick that sent the door crashing off its frame. He led the others into the house while maintaining suppressing fire on the hostile forces. Inside the old single-story house, Alvarez moved swiftly to clear it. As he entered the front living room, his trained eyes caught a glint of a rifle barrel. Instinctively, he swung his own rifle up, clipping the enemy's barrel just as a bullet ripped through the ceiling. The two men engaged in a brief struggle, each trying to gain an advantage. Alvarez, aware of his backup, grabbed the man by his vest and pulled backward with all his strength, dropping to the floor and taking the enemy down with him. As the militiaman tried to break free, Fisher intervened, using his handgun to put a round into the side of the man's head. Alvarez quickly tossed the lifeless body aside and stood up, only to realize that the front curtains were wide open, offering a clear view of the houses across the river. Alvarez acted quickly, pulling Fisher out of the line of fire just as bullets tore through the glass and wooden exterior of the house. "Contact! Contact!" Alvarez called out as he and Fisher crawled to the front windows, taking cover in adjacent rooms. Peering cautiously from behind the window, they spotted multiple muzzle flashes, emanating from the house directly across the river. "I got two shooters on the second floor," Corporal Fisher reported. "Looks like at least one on the first floor too," Alvarez replied. Alvarez and Fisher aimed their rifles out the front windows, firing a few shots in the direction of the enemy forces, hoping to deter them. In retaliation, the militia across the river unleashed a barrage of bullets into the house, shattering more glass and splintering wood. Both men remained low, narrowly avoiding being hit. "This isn't ideal, Sarge," Fisher shouted. "Then let's do something about it," Alvarez responded. "Open to suggestions," Fisher replied. Alvarez pondered for a moment, briefly peeking over the windowsill. He noticed that there appeared to be minimal activity in the house to the right of the ambush site. "You keep their attention, Fisher," I'm getting across that river to flank them. Keep an eye out for me and provide cover on my approach, Alvarez ordered. I'm on it, Sarge, Fisher acknowledged. Alvarez stayed low as he moved away from the window, rushing to the back of the house where Acosta stood guard. She was taking a knee beside the slightly cracked open back door, her sights trained on the house where movement had been spotted earlier. Sounds like you woke up the neighbors, Private Acosta remarked. That's an understatement. How are we looking back here? Alvarez inquired. I saw the curtains move a moment ago. I think they're just waiting for us to make a move, Acosta reported. Alvarez glanced out the door, observing that the house across the open area was diagonal from their position. He identified the window Acosta had her sights on, which offered a clear view of the yard he needed to traverse. I need to get down that way to the river, Alvarez explained. I can cover you, Sergeant, Acosta assured. 50 yards at a harsh angle. Are you good from this distance? Alvarez asked. I can't promise a headshot, but I'll hit the target, Acosta replied. As long as it stops him from shooting me, I'm good with it, Alvarez stated. I have my sights dialed in. It's your ass on the line. So we go on your mark, Acosta responded. Alvarez swapped out his partially empty magazine for a full one, taking a moment to steady himself before placing his hand on the door. Go, he commanded. Alvarez yanked the door open and sprinted into the backyard, veering sharply to the left to avoid Acosta's firing line. He propelled himself forward, legs pumping as he made a beeline for the river embankment. Meanwhile, Acosta kept her sights trained on the window, her concentration unwavering. She scanned for any signs of movement, her gaze shifting toward the back door, perfectly aligned with Alvarez's path. She noticed it open ever so slightly, a nearly imperceptible motion directed toward the river. Without hesitation, Acosta opened fire, sending several rounds into the wooden door as Alvarez raced past. As the bullet splintered the wood, a body collapsed to the ground. The man still clutched his weapon, attempting to raise it as Alvarez sprinted by. Acosta continued to fire, her rounds hitting the man's back, causing him to writhe in agony. His vest prevented the bullets from being lethal, but his condition was dire. She adjusted her aim, firing toward his legs. The militiaman's legs were shredded in a gruesome display of crimson. One bullet sliced through the center of his thigh, forcing him to release his weapon and focus on staunching the blood flow. Even from a distance, Acosta could see an alarming amount of blood pooling around him. She ceased firing, but kept her rifle trained on him, ensuring he was incapacitated. Finally, she shifted her aim, scanning the nearby houses for any remaining threats. As Acosta maintained her vigilance, Alvarez continued his sprint across the open yards, praying that the enemy had no further surprises in store for him. As he approached the river embankment, he spotted several zombies emerging from around the side of the houses. They were far enough away that he didn't prioritize them, instead focusing on reaching the steep riverbank. He halted at the top, gazing down and letting out an exasperated sigh. You gotta be kidding me. Beneath him, in the icy water, lay dozens of zombies, struggling to keep their heads above the chest-high stream. The water's flow was sluggish, hampered by the freezing temperatures of the environment. As Sergeant Alvarez stood there, contemplating how to cross, sudden shots rang out from his right. Alvarez reacted swiftly, dropping to one knee and spinning around, raising his rifle to return fire. At the far end of the neighborhood, he spotted a trio of militia members advancing towards him. Both sides exchanged shots, but neither found their target. As the intensity of the militia's gunfire increased, Alvarez was compelled to take cover. He descended over the side of the embankment, sliding down the slippery slope towards the water and the creatures lurking below. Guiding himself towards an open spot in the water, Alvarez landed with a hard splash, cracking through the thin ice as he hit. He wasted no time, quickly getting to his feet as zombies surrounded him, their grotesque forms sloshing through the water. inching closer. Slinging his rifle over his shoulder, he drew his handgun and fired off several rounds into the nearest zombie heads, buying himself a precious few moments to forge ahead. With a burst of determination, Alvarez pushed off the muddy riverbed beneath his feet, steadily gaining momentum as he crossed the river. At close range, he had to fire a few more shots to eliminate the creatures nearest to him, creating a path through the undead horde. Glancing over his shoulder, he noticed that several zombies were closing in behind him, dangerously close. Alvarez turned his attention back to the front when a loud moan reached his ears. A zombie was approaching directly in front of him, its decaying arms mere feet away from grasping him. Instinctively, he ducked beneath the water's icy surface, the cold chill seeping into his every nerve. He pushed through, maneuvering around the creature and resurfacing behind it. A quick shot to the back of its head sent the zombie splashing down into the water, causing a pileup of undead in the river. Sergeant Alvarez pressed on, determinedly wading through the freezing river as the rest of his path remained clear. As he reached the riverbank, he began the challenging climb, digging his boots into the snow for traction. With haste, he ascended, keeping a wary eye on the encroaching zombies in the water below. One wrong move could prove fatal. Midway up the embankment, shots rang out from the opposite side. Alvarez swiftly turned and aimed his handgun, firing wildly towards the source, one of the gunmen who had taken shots at him earlier. To his surprise, a lucky shot found its mark, striking the militiaman in the chest. The bulletproof vest absorbed the impact, but the shock was enough to push him back from the riverbank. Alvarez scrambled to the top, rolling onto his back momentarily to catch his breath, before pulling himself up and taking cover behind a nearby tree. He reached for his radio, his voice tense and urgent. "Truck teams, you have incoming from the riverside. They're trying to flank you." There was no immediate response, but the sound of gunfire erupted from the area where the trucks were parked. Sergeant Alvarez sat there anxiously, fearing the worst. After several moments of intense gunfire, a silence fell. He picked up the radio once more, his voice still fraught with worry. "Truck teams, report." A tense pause ensued before a voice crackled over the radio. "Leonard here, Sarge. Threat neutralized." Alvarez breathed a sigh of relief before issuing further orders. "I want you to be ready to move on my mark. We're going to clear a path." "We'll be ready," Private Leonard responded. "Good. When you get someplace safe outside of town, contact me. I'll let you know our status," Alvarez instructed. "Copy that, Sarge," Leonard acknowledged. Alvarez stowed the radio, briefly rubbing his chest to generate some warmth as the freezing water took its toll on him. Finally, he summoned the strength to stand, retrieving his rifle and preparing to move. His eyes remained fixed on the house by the bridge, its windows still illuminated by muzzle flashes. "Time to make you boys pay," Alvarez muttered, his determination unwavering as he braced himself for the next phase of their mission. Chapter 4. Alvarez stealthily advanced through the row of houses that ran parallel to the target, his heart pounding in his chest. As he rounded a corner, he unexpectedly encountered a pair of zombies lurking in the shadows. Instead of resorting to gunfire, he chose a more physical approach. With his shoulder lowered, he slammed into the lead zombie, pushing it backward. Remarkably, the creature managed to maintain its footing, but stumbled enough to allow the sergeant to draw his knife. Swiftly, he lunged forward, driving the blade deep into the first zombie's skull. As he withdrew the weapon, he summoned a burst of strength, hoisting the lifeless ghoul into the air and hurling it toward its companion. The lifeless corpse collided with the second zombie, toppling both to the ground. The trapped one flailed helplessly, unable to rise due to the weight of its fallen comrade. With swiftness, Alvarez calmly stepped over and dispatched the trapped zombie with a precise knife strike to the head. He sheathed his weapon and retrieved his rifle before continuing his cautious approach. As he drew nearer to the target, he slowed his pace, moving with deliberate care. Three houses away, he halted to peek through a window. Inside, he saw the rear of the house facing the river, and he breathed a sigh of relief as there was no sign of movement within. Sergeant Alvarez continued onward, stopping at the next house to peek inside once more. This time, he spotted a lone man near the back window, busily setting up a firing position for his high-end sniper rifle. Alvarez decided against going in through the window, instead moving to the far end of the house. To his surprise, the back door's knob turned easily. "This asshole must not think too highly of us," Alvarez whispered, as he silently traversed the house. In one hand, he held his knife, in the other, his sidearm. He moved noiselessly through the kitchen, advancing toward the dining room and the back room, where his target was stationed. Pausing by the doorframe, he waited for the perfect moment to strike. As the sniper began peering through his scope, Alvarez made his move. However, the aged floorboards beneath him betrayed him with an audible creak. Startled, the sniper whirled around, prompting Alvarez to rapidly fire his handgun. Three rounds were dispatched towards the man, with one striking him in the center of his vest. Although the sniper was in pain, he managed to swing his rifle towards Alvarez. As he pulled the trigger, Alvarez lunged back into the adjoining room. The force of the rifle round shattered the wooden walls, sending splinters and plaster flying through the air. The sniper fired again, aiming lower. The bullet pierced the wall once more, narrowly missing Alvarez's head as it struck the floor inches away. Sergeant Alvarez scrambled, staying low and nearly crawling into the next room as more shots rang out. Instead of returning fire, he chose to rely on stealth, clutching his handgun tightly at chest level. Listening intently, Alvarez tracked the sniper's movements through the house. He could hear the man speaking into a radio, undoubtedly warning his comrades in the neighboring house. The element of surprise had dissipated, but that was the least of Alvarez's concerns at the moment. Alvarez positioned himself behind a wall near the door, on the far side of the kitchen, watching the sniper's reflection in the glass as he raised his weapon, aiming directly at him. Just as the sniper prepared to fire, Sergeant Alvarez dropped to the ground. A rifle round narrowly missed him, but it provided an opportunity. Alvarez took his chance. Leaning out on the ground through the doorway, he fired several rounds from his handgun into the sniper's legs. Multiple bullets struck their mark, causing the man to collapse. Despite the excruciating pain, the sniper managed to raise his rifle, attempting to get a kill shot before Alvarez could react. But his effort was cut short as the sergeant adjusted his aim, squeezing the trigger and sending a bullet into the man's neck. The sniper fell back, dropping his weapon as he clutched his neck wound in a futile attempt to stem the bleeding. Alvarez remained frozen in fear for a moment before realizing that his handgun was empty. Quickly, he reloaded it, aiming it at the sniper but lowering it when he saw that the man's life was swiftly fading. Taking a moment to collect himself, Alvarez then retrieved the high-powered sniper rifle. Giving it a thorough inspection, he checked the ammunition and found two rounds left. He also searched the deceased man's body, procuring another magazine with five rounds. Amidst the intensifying gunfire outside, Alvarez rushed to the back window, surveying the house across the river. Muzzle flashes and bullets impacting the structure indicated a firefight. Before he moved away from the window, he noticed a militia member sneaking around the side of the house, attempting to ambush Fisher. Alvarez quickly assumed a firing position with the sniper rifle, aiming squarely at the man's chest. These vests were no match for this weapon. He bided his time until the assailant's chest was fully exposed before pulling the trigger. The round pierced the vest, tearing through it and exiting the back, and the man crumpled to the ground. Aware that he had just revealed his position, Alvarez hurried to the side of the house, sniper rifle in hand. He positioned himself by the side window, aiming toward the adjacent house's side door. "Come on out, I dare you," he muttered, disdain for his enemy full in his voice. Alvarez maintained his unwavering focus, patiently awaiting any sign of movement. He didn't have to wait long. The door across the way swung open, and a heavily armed man rushed out, weapon raised and at the ready. Before the militiaman could take more than a single step outside, Alvarez fired. The round tore through his chest, the impact propelling him backward into the house. Swiftly, Alvarez reloaded his weapon, never diverting his gaze from the door. After several moments of no activity, except for the consistent flashes of gunfire from the second floor, he slung the sniper rifle over his shoulder and sprang into action. Sergeant Alvarez burst through the back door, sprinting across the road to the house opposite, keeping his weapon at the ready. He reached the door, observing the lifeless militiaman on the ground, and swiftly pivoted, entering the house. The sound of gunfire echoed from the upper floor, maintaining a steady rhythm. Alvarez moved quickly yet cautiously through the ground floor, ensuring that he wouldn't be ambushed as he ascended to the second floor. Once he was satisfied that he had a clear path, he began ascending the stairs. Gunshots emanated from two separate rooms at the back of the house as he climbed. Alvarez reached the top of the stairs, his attention drawn to the source of the commotion. Both doors leading to the rooms were shut, complicating his task. The incessant gunfire in those rooms, however, provided the cover he needed to reach the second floor unnoticed. Standing beside the first closed door, his assault rifle gripped firmly. Finger on the trigger, he aimed towards the rear of the room before gently touching the doorknob. With deliberate care, Alvarez turned the knob and inched the door open. Although the hinges protested with a faint creak due to their age, the gunman remained oblivious, absorbed in his torrent of bullets directed across the river. Alvarez approached slowly, his aim fixed on the back of the man's head as he closed the distance. He squeezed the trigger, and the gunman met his demise without ever realizing what had happened. He slumped lifelessly, collapsing to the side, his weapon crashing to the floor and discharging a round into the adjoining room. "Damn it," Alvarez muttered under his breath. He paused for a moment, unwilling to give away his position, but it was too late. The damage had been done. Bullets ripped through the wall, and Alvarez instinctively dove to the ground as the line of fire passed perilously close over his head. He scrambled out of the room, rushing towards the other bedroom, determined to engage the gunman there. As soon as he reached the door, it swung open, and the militiaman charged out. Both men collided, discharging a few stray shots as they grappled for control of the situation. The militiaman delivered a powerful headbutt to Sergeant Alvarez's face, causing him to stagger back. Alvarez stumbled, allowing his adversary to raise his weapon dangerously close to his head. The gun went off, sending a bullet whizzing past Alvarez's face, narrowly missing him. The struggle continued for a moment, with the militiaman seeming to gain the upper hand against the off-balance sergeant. With the gun inching closer to his face, Alvarez knew he had to act swiftly. In a desperate move, he summoned his strength to swing the militiaman around, their combined weight proving sufficient to shatter the railing around the open stairwell. Both men tumbled down to the lower stairs, with Alvarez landing heavily on top of the militiaman, his bulletproof vest offering minimal protection from the impact. Momentarily dazed, the militiaman allowed Alvarez to draw his handgun, wedging it between the front and back flaps of the vest. Alvarez pulled the trigger multiple times. The man grunted and groaned as he bled out, and it took a few moments before he fell completely limp. Exhausted from the fall, Alvarez sat there for a brief moment. His respite was short-lived as intense gunfire erupted from outside. He couldn't hear any impacts on the house he was in, but he couldn't stay still. Alvarez scrambled to his feet, racing back up the stairs and into one of the bedrooms before reaching the window. As he peered out, a hail of bullets struck the wall around him, forcing him to take cover on the floor. "Cut it out, Fisher! I secured the house," Alvarez yelled out. He lay there for a moment, radio in hand, before it crackled to life. "My bad, Sarge. You good?" came Fisher's voice over the radio. "Yeah, just banged up. What's the status?" Alvarez replied. Trucks have heavy resistance. Acosta and I are moving that way, Fisher reported. Negative. Hold position. Let me get a look at things first, Alvarez ordered. Alvarez got off the ground, returning to the window and surveying the battlefield across the river. He spotted half a dozen militia members entrenched across the main street at the school, engaged in a fierce firefight with the trucks. One man hid behind a car at the front of the parking lot, with the rest of the group positioned behind him. Can anybody at the trucks hear me? Alvarez asked over the radio. Leonard here, came a response. Listen up. In 60 seconds, I'm going to get you an opening. You haul ass through town and get to the other side. If it's clear, fortify and wait for us to get there, Alvarez instructed. And if it's not clear, Leonard inquired. We'll buy you as much of a head start as we can, Alvarez assured him. Understood, Leonard acknowledged. Fisher, you copy, Alvarez inquired. What's the plan? Fisher responded. When those trucks get by, you and Fisher get across the bridge, follow on foot, and we're going to cover them, Alvarez outlined. Copy that, Fisher confirmed. Alvarez readied his sniper rifle, mentally preparing himself for the upcoming battle. Here goes nothing, he muttered, bracing for the decisive moment. Chapter 5. Sergeant Alvarez assumed a strategic position beside the second floor window, cradling his sniper rifle as he focused on the enemy fortifications sprawled outside the school across the river. Amongst the concealed militia forces, he picked his target, a gunman seeking refuge behind a car. With his target locked in his sights, he reached for his radio, ready to issue orders. Truck team, in 15 seconds, you haul ass. Countdown now, he commanded, his voice firm and unwavering. Alvarez's hand hovered over the trigger as a silent countdown ran through his mind. His crosshairs remained fixated on the chosen target, a vulnerable figure even behind cover. In a swift motion, Alvarez squeezed the trigger, and a fraction of a second later, the militiaman's head erupted in a gruesome display of crimson. He immediately shifted his aim to the next group of gunmen, taking his time to line up his shot. The sergeant zeroed in on a target standing behind another car, close to one of his comrades. Alvarez's fingers squeezed the trigger again, this time the bullet finding its mark in the man's neck. Through his scope, Alvarez observed the victim's friend attempting to stanch the bleeding, but it was a futile effort. The wound was too grievous. A thunderous roar echoed as the trucks revved their engines. Alvarez glanced downward, witnessing the convoy's swift departure from the neighborhood, veering towards the bridge. Yeah, get moving, he urged. Alvarez raised the sniper rifle once more, attempting to provide cover for the convoy. But a hail of bullets rained down upon the house. Some projectiles pierced the window, while others struck the side of the building. But miraculously, none found their mark. The onslaught forced Alvarez to seek refuge, the gunfire outside intensifying. After a tense pause, the bullets ceased their assault, allowing him to cautiously rise. Peering out the window, he spotted Fisher dashing across the open terrain toward the bridge, blindly firing at the school where the militia was holed up. The crossfire was intense, but neither side seemed to score any hits. Alvarez scanned frantically for Acosta, who was laying down covering fire from the side of the house. Bullets struck the structure, compelling her to retreat behind cover. Moments later, Fisher reached safety on the bridge, providing covering fire. Responding in kind, Alvarez selected a target among the militia and squeezed the trigger. In his haste, his aim faltered slightly, and the bullet struck the car's roof, sending metal shards flying and forcing the gunman behind cover. Acosta raced across the open expanse, reaching the bridge and taking cover. Alvarez immediately grabbed his radio, barking out orders. Acosta, Fisher, move your asses. I got you covered. There was no immediate response on the radio, but the message had been acknowledged. Alvarez watched as both soldiers sprinted along the bridge, staying low and using the barrier as a shield. The militia continued firing, but their targets were well protected. As they ran, Alvarez noticed one of the militia members advancing to secure a better firing position. He swiftly raised his sniper rifle and fired. Hitting a stationary target was well within his skill set, but hitting a moving target was a challenge he couldn't overcome. Rather than aiming for a kill shot, he aimed just ahead of the man. The bullet impacted a few yards in front of him, showering the area with pavement fragments. The militiaman altered his course, seeking refuge near the bridge's edge where a car was parked. With lightning speed, the man rose, firing toward the house. Alvarez ducked behind cover before popping back up, taking a quick aim and firing. Again, the bullet missed its mark, hitting the car beside the enemy. But that was deliberate. He knew he had only one shot left and used it to buy Fisher and Acosta more time. A moment later, his radio crackled to life. "We're in the neighborhood. A block back. We'll cover you," Corporal Fisher's voice rang out. On the move, Alvarez dropped the empty sniper rifle, not wanting to carry the extra weight, and brandished his assault rifle. He hurtled over the body on the stairs and descended to the ground floor. With a burst of speed, he dashed for the front door and flung it open. Before him lay another house, devoid of any visible movement. "He must have meant the next block," Alvarez muttered to himself. He quickened his pace, veering right to put more distance between himself and the main road, seeking as much cover as possible. As he reached the next house, the sound of gunfire pierced the air. Alvarez cast a glance backward, spotting a couple of militia members taking cover behind trees. Rather than return fire, he maintained his sprint toward his comrades. Reaching the next block, Alvarez located the house where Fisher and Acosta held their position. They fired back relentlessly at the approaching enemy. Alvarez rushed up to the house, swung open the front door, and entered. Acosta, startled by his sudden appearance, raised her gun, though not in an aiming stance as recognition set in. "About time, Sarge. We were getting worried. Going to take more than a handful of assholes to get the better of me." "How many more are we dealing with?" Alvarez asked, his voice brimming with determination. "We have 5 coming up the road," Private Acosta replied. "Let's hope that's all there is," Alvarez remarked. "We gotta move," Corporal Fisher chimed in, unloading several more rounds before making a break for the back of the house. The other 2 soldiers followed suit, heads down as they exited through the rear door. As they sprinted through the neighborhood toward the downtown area, where a car wreck awaited, the screech of tires approached rapidly. "How many vehicles?" Alvarez inquired. "Just one that I saw," Corporal Fisher responded. Alvarez diverged from the others, who were heading toward the last row of houses before downtown, taking cover behind a tree. "What are you doing?" Fisher questioned. "Get to the next street up. Make sure there's not another ambush waiting on us," Alvarez directed. "You got it, Sarge," Fisher acknowledged, and they moved quickly, each member of the squad executing their part of the plan. As Fisher and Acosta hurried away, Sergeant Alvarez stood firm by the tree, his gaze locked onto the approaching road, anticipating the speeding vehicle's arrival. The roar of the engine grew louder, and as the vehicle emerged from around the corner of a nearby house, Alvarez opened fire. His shots were a rapid barrage, hastily aimed, hoping to shatter the windshield. 3 projectiles found their mark, smashing the glass and hitting the driver. The speeding SUV began to lose control, but maintained its velocity. Inside, passengers in the front and back seats wrestled for control of the vehicle, the front passenger desperately attempting to keep it on the road. However, the driver had no inkling of the chaos that awaited. The vehicle collided with a multi-car pileup just outside downtown, its impact forceful enough to dislodge several cars. Alvarez's eyes remained fixed on the wreck, watching as the SUV burst through to the main part of downtown, only to be immediately besieged by swarming zombies. A multitude of the undead creatures descended upon the vehicle, Move, man, move! Alvarez shouted, breaking himself out of his stunned trance. He turned and sprinted back through the neighborhood, heading toward the side street. As he reached the road, he cast a glance toward the wreckage, where a few dozen zombies had ventured out from the downtown area, ambling in various directions. That ought to slow those bastards down, Alvarez muttered to himself. Moments later, he witnessed the crashed vehicle backing away from the downtown area. It was a turbulent journey, with the vehicle bumping over the undead, causing rotten flesh to bounce off its exterior. Alvarez began to run as the vehicle reversed, its back window rolling down as one of its occupants opened fire in his direction. The bumpy ride over the zombies disrupted the shooter's aim, but it was enough to send Alvarez into high gear. He reached the rear of the buildings, spotting Acosta outside a mechanic station. "What are you doing? Move!" he shouted. Alvarez popped back around the corner, firing a few shots toward the vehicle. Though it struggled for traction on the zombie-covered road, it eventually reversed into the neighborhood. Alvarez knew it was only a temporary respite. We have to move now. Gunfire erupted from the direction of the militia, undoubtedly engaged in a battle with the zombies. Alvarez sprinted down the street, retrieving his radio. "Truck team, do you copy?" "Leonard here," came the response. "We need one truck to pick us up at the edge of downtown on the side street. We have an opening, but it's a small one," Alvarez instructed. "On the way, Sarge," Private Leonard acknowledged. Alvarez glanced back at Acosta, who was fiddling with the garage door. "Acosta, we have a truck on the way." "I'm buying us more time," Acosta responded. With a swift motion, Acosta flung the garage door open, not waiting for it to fully rise. She darted away, running toward the sergeant. Dozens of zombies spilled out from the garage, eager for fresh prey, spreading across the street. "Where the hell did you find them at?" Alvarez asked. "We checked the buildings as we came down the street. Figured they may come in handy," Acosta explained. "Good job. Where's Fisher?" Alvarez inquired. "At the end of the street, keeping a watch on that side," Acosta replied. "Let's get down there because one of the trucks is coming to pick us up," Alvarez said. The two of them sprinted to the end of the street as zombies filled the roadway behind them. As they neared Fisher's position, he emerged from cover. "Are you good, Sarge?" "Never better," Alvarez replied. A few seconds later, one of the trucks turned the corner and stopped at the intersection, scanning for their presence. They waved frantically to grab its attention. The truck initiated a three-point turn, preparing to depart. Before the trio could start moving in that direction, they heard gunfire erupting at the top of the street they had just vacated. Militia members were dropping zombies, and their vehicle revved its engine, poised for pursuit. "We have to go now," Alvarez urged. The trio rushed toward the waiting truck, Leonard behind the wheel. Alvarez barked out instructions. "Fisher, you're in the back. Acosta, on me." Fisher made his way to the rear of the truck, sliding inside and closing the door firmly behind him. Acosta occupied the passenger seat beside Leonard, while Alvarez hopped into the vehicle and slammed the door shut. "Hit the gas. Trouble is right behind us," Alvarez commanded, his voice urgent as they sped away from the relentless threat. Chapter 6. The group quickly settled into the truck as it roared down the highway, with Private Leonard gripping the steering wheel. Alvarez, leaning back in his seat, noticed Alvarez adjusting the side mirror to improve his view. "Where are the other trucks?" Sergeant Alvarez inquired. "I sent them up toward Cascade, so they're miles ahead of us by now," Private Leonard replied. "Any other injuries?" Alvarez asked. "No," Leonard responded. "The armor on the backs of these things works great. Trying to shoot out of those portholes is a pain, assuming you believe what Wallace has to say. But then again, I don't think they were designed for the type of firefight we were in." Alvarez glanced in the rearview mirror, spotting the vehicle from town emerging on the horizon. "Let's hope they were designed for this kind of fight," he muttered. Leonard focused on the side mirror and replied, I got them. How are we playing it? Alvarez contemplated for a moment before grabbing his radio. Fisher, we've got incoming on our six. Do you have eyes on? He radioed. I do, Corporal Fisher responded. If we keep it in the middle of the road, can you hit them? Alvarez asked. This porthole is for crap, but it'll give me my chance, Fisher replied. That's what we'll do then. If we swerve, it's going to be to the driver's side so I can get a shot at them, Alvarez instructed. Copy that, Fisher acknowledged. Alvarez tossed the radio onto the dashboard. Center lane, as fast as you can, he directed Leonard. Leonard checked the speed, which struggled to reach 60. These things aren't exactly made for speed, he commented. Just do your best, Alvarez urged. Leonard nodded and pressed his foot down on the accelerator. Both men kept a close eye on their respective mirrors as the enemy vehicle rapidly closed in on them. Before the enemy vehicle reached them, Alvarez turned to Acosta. How many mags do you have left? He asked. Two, Private Acosta replied. I have three in my vest. Take them if you need them, Leonard offered. Okay, this might get intense, so you have a gun ready for me, and we'll just keep swapping back and forth, Alvarez suggested. I'll handle it, Acosta replied. Alvarez nodded, looking back out the window as the enemy vehicle approached. When they got within 30 yards, Fisher opened fire from the back of their truck, aiming through a porthole. It was challenging to see out of the hatch in the back, but Fisher's bullets hit the front of the SUV, doing little to stop it. Soon, several rounds started bouncing off the back of the truck, making Fisher take cover inside. Now we're talking! Fisher exclaimed as he got back up and aimed his gun, firing at the enemy vehicle. However, the swerving of both vehicles made it difficult to land accurate shots. As Fisher emptied his magazine, the truck suddenly swerved to the driver's side. Alvarez stuck his upper body out of the window, rapidly squeezing the trigger toward the militia's vehicle. Multiple targets presented themselves. A man sticking out of the front passenger side, one in the back driver's side, and another through the sunroof. Alvarez's bullet hit the front passenger side windshield, causing the man to drop his weapon, the impact stunning him. However, the other two shooters concentrated their fire on Alvarez, hitting all around the door and shattering the side mirror. He handed his assault rifle back to Acosta, who passed him a fresh one. As they did so, Alvarez heard the enemy vehicle's engine roaring, indicating their attempt to overtake them. On the right, Alvarez shouted. Leonard cut the wheel hard to the right, feeling resistance as their truck collided with the militia's vehicle. Alvarez peered out the window, seeing the front end of their enemy's vehicle nearly level with their door. He tried to lean out, but immediately had to duck back inside when he spotted the gunman sticking out of the sunroof. Bullets tore through the open window, impacting the front dash and cracking the windshield. Alvarez leaned as far as possible into the cab to avoid getting shot. During this intense moment, he reached over to Leonard, grabbing his handgun from his holster because it was more accessible than his own. When the gunfire momentarily ceased for reloading, Alvarez stuck the handgun out of the window, keeping it concealed as much as possible, and fired rapidly despite the inability to aim accurately. Realizing he must have hit something, the enemy vehicle slammed on the brakes, backing off. Alvarez cautiously attempted to stick his head out a bit, wary of potential gunfire. I don't have them, Alvarez said as he grabbed the radio, his voice nearly shouting. Fisher, do you have eyes on them? Fisher grabbed the radio from his belt as he returned to the porthole. He spotted the enemy vehicle, which had come to a halt. Not sure what you did, but you hit them good. They're stopped in the middle of the road, Fisher reported. Is their vehicle disabled? Alvarez asked, his gaze still fixed on the enemy. Fisher observed the enemy vehicle, and one of the men from the back jumped out, opened the driver's side door, and threw the driver onto the ground. Negative. Their driver is on the ground. But it's the next man up. As the enemy vehicle began to pick up speed again and close in, Fisher added, "They're going to be on us in 15 seconds." Alvarez surveyed the damaged dash and windshield, realizing how close they had come to disaster. An idea flashed in his mind. "Get back to the center," he instructed Leonard. Leonard nodded in agreement with Alvarez's instructions and obeyed, steering the truck back into the center lane. Alvarez then contacted Fisher over the radio. "All right, Corporal, I need you to stay out of sight for the moment," Alvarez instructed. Fisher sounded surprised. "Stay out of sight?" "Yeah, don't fire. I want them to think you're out of the game, but you tell me when they get within 10 yards of us," Alvarez clarified. Fisher still seemed incredulous. "Okay, what's going to happen then?" "Leonard is going to slam on the brakes," Alvarez explained. Both Acosta and Leonard exchanged concerned glances, and Fisher chimed in. "Are you crazy?" "They won't be able to react fast enough, and as soon as it's bumper to bumper, you empty a mag into the cab," Alvarez replied. "On it, Sarge," Fisher agreed. "You may want to brace yourselves," Leonard warned as he anticipated the upcoming maneuver. A few moments later, Fisher yelled over the radio, "Now!" Leonard abruptly slammed on the brakes, causing the truck to lurch forward and collide violently with the pursuing enemy vehicle. Fisher felt the impact, but was prepared for it. He quickly steadied himself and aimed his weapon out of the porthole, with the enemy vehicle stuck to their bumper. "Eat this, assholes," Fisher muttered as he pulled the trigger as rapidly as he could, unleashing a hail of bullets into the enemy cab. His primary focus was on the driver, sending 10 rounds in that direction before peppering the rest of the cab with the remainder of the magazine. After the intense barrage, an eerie silence filled the air. Fisher dropped the empty magazine and swiftly replaced it with a fresh one, his weapon still trained on the enemy vehicle. "I think I got them," Fisher reported over the radio. "Keep your weapon on them. I'm coming out to check," Alvarez responded. "Copy that," Fisher acknowledged. Alvarez cautiously exited the truck, aiming his weapon toward the enemy vehicle as he approached slowly. He wanted to ensure he had a clear view inside before getting too close. The only visible figure in the back seat appeared slumped over, leaning against the passenger side window. To err on the side of caution, Alvarez fired a single shot into the figure's head, confirming the threat was neutralized. He then checked the rest of the vehicle, confirming that both front occupants were dead. "We're clear," Alvarez called out. "Fisher, come on out." Fisher opened the back of the truck, still keeping his weapon trained on the enemy vehicle until he saw the results of their plan. "Gotta say, Sarge, that plan worked like a charm," he remarked. "I pulled that plan out of my ass, and we were damn lucky it worked," Alvarez admitted. Fisher nodded as Leonard and Acosta joined them, inspecting the enemy vehicle embedded on the back bumper. "Think we can get that off?" Acosta inquired. Fisher gave the hood a couple of firm kicks, causing the vehicle to rock slightly. "Yeah, we'll just have to put our backs into it." While they discussed this, Alvarez moved to the back of the truck and opened the hatch, revealing a remarkable haul of goods inside. There were two crates, one filled with grenades and the other containing a grenade launcher and a full rack of projectiles. "These boys aren't messing around," Fisher remarked. Leonard couldn't help but wonder, where the hell did they get this stuff from? Acosta replied with a wry grin, "First time in America, Leonard." The group decided to load up the valuable cargo onto the truck. As they started grabbing crates, Alvarez took the grenade launcher and inspected it closely. "I figured you'd call dibs on that," Fisher commented. Alvarez smiled. "Benefits of a higher rank, Corporal. But don't worry, once I'm done with it, I'll share." Fisher was curious. "What are you going to do?" Alvarez walked several yards away from the others, selecting a large tree about 30 yards out. He aimed the grenade launcher, pulled the trigger, and sent a grenade flying through the air. Moments later, it detonated at the base of the tree, shattering trunk, and causing the tree to fall across the road with a loud crash. Not going to hold them forever, but it should buy us a little time, Alvarez explained. Acosta questioned, "You think there's more coming? If they're this organized and this heavily armed, they're not going to stop with just a single strike team like this," Alvarez replied, sobering the group's mood. "Come on, let's load up so we can hit the road. We have to take advantage of the time while we have it," Alvarez urged, refocusing everyone's attention on the task at hand. The group nodded and quickly started loading the weaponry onto the truck. Within a matter of minutes, they were ready to continue their journey, speeding down the road toward the rest of their group. Chapter 7. Leonard drove the group north on the highway towards Cascade. The cab was silent, with Alvarez enjoying the view, and Acosta seemingly lost in her thoughts. Finally, Alvarez noticed Acosta and her thousand-yard stare. Sergeant Alvarez asked, "You all right, Acosta?" It took her a moment to snap out of it, but she came to and started talking. "Yeah, I'm okay, Sarge," she replied. She trailed off, the shock of the day finally weighing on her. Sergeant Alvarez nodded understandingly. "First time in combat?" Acosta gave a half-hearted nod. "Yeah, I mean, I've been in close proximity to combat, but never had to take a life before. Well, I've taken plenty of those undead lives over the last couple of months, but never a living person." "You did good out there," Alvarez reassured her. "You didn't hesitate. You did what needed to be done. And most importantly, you came out the other side." "I know," Acosta said, still with a hint of unease. "It's just a weird feeling." "Don't worry," Alvarez comforted her. "It does get easier." Acosta hesitated before responding. "Not sure I want it to." "I know," Alvarez said, understanding the conflicted emotions she was going through. He gave her a reassuring pat on the leg as they continued to drive. He knew that no words from him could completely alleviate her inner turmoil. Private Leonard spoke up, breaking silence. "Sarge, up ahead." Alvarez looked up the road, spotting the car by the side of the road with the turnoff instructions. Just off the road, they saw the house, with two trucks sitting outside. As they turned in, they noticed Private Hubbard sitting on the top of one of the trucks, his assault rifle beside him. He gave them a wave before taking a bite out of a sandwich. "It looks like they've made themselves at home," Alvarez remarked. They pulled into the lot and got out. Hubbard climbed down from the top of the truck to greet them as the others came out of the house. "We were wondering when you guys would get here," Hubbard said. "Status report?" Alvarez inquired. "House is clear," Hubbard reported. "We have Henderson on the couch getting patched up, and it was a bonus that their pantry was still pretty well stocked." Alvarez raised an eyebrow as he glanced at the sandwich Hubbard was munching on. "You're eating two-month-old bread." Hubbard grinned. "Oh yeah, I am." They had a small freezer that was hooked up to a solar generator. "It's a little stale, but I've been craving peanut butter and jelly for weeks now." "You're a madman, Hubbard," Alvarez chuckled. "Of course I am," Hubbard replied with a wink. "Why else would I sign up for this gig?" Alvarez shook his head and walked over to the others. "Wallace, Bradley, I need you to move that car off the road and hide it from view. They're probably going to be able to figure out where we're going, but we don't want to make it easy for them." "We're on it, Sarge," Wallace and Bradley acknowledged. Alvarez turned to Robertson. "Was there anything else useful in the house?" Robertson shook his head. "We grabbed the food that was still good, found a few gallons of gas in the shed, went ahead and put it into the trucks." "How's the fuel looking?" Alvarez asked. "We still have half a tank or so," Robertson replied. "Going to need a gas station eventually, but we're good for the time being." "Hopefully our scout has one for us at the next stop," Alvarez said optimistically. "Here's hoping, because I'm not getting out and pushing these things," Robertson quipped. Alvarez chuckled as Robertson walked off. The sergeant turned and watched his squad working and getting ready for the next part of their journey. A few minutes later, they were packed up and ready to go, with Alvarez behind the wheel of the lead truck. "Okay, squad, we're moving out," Alvarez announced. "Decent pace, keeping it tight and keep those heads on a swivel. If you can think of an ambush spot, so can they." Alvarez handed the radio over to Private Acosta, who was riding shotgun. He shifted the truck into gear and led them down the side road that Cillian had cleared for them. "Acosta, do me a favor," Alvarez requested. "See if you can get Cillian on the line. Need to find out where that boy is." Private Acosta reached for the radio and called out, "Cillian, do you copy?" There was a long moment of silence before the radio crackled to life. As it did, she handed the radio over to Alvarez. "Hello? Is this thing on?" a voice came through the radio. "It's Alvarez. Where are you?" Alvarez inquired. "Just up the road from Cascade, in Donnelly." "Where are you?" Cillian replied. "Following your side road directions around Cascade." "Where are we meeting?" Alvarez asked. "I'll meet you just south of Donnelly. There's a big town sign on the right side of the road. Can't miss it," Cillian directed. "We'll be there soon," Alvarez confirmed. As the radio went dead after the conversation with Cillian, Sergeant Alvarez instructed Acosta to find Donnelly on the map. "Got it. About 15 miles north of here." Alvarez frowned, contemplating the distance. How bad is Cascade if he had to go that far north? The convoy continued to drive through the wooded back roads around the town, with everyone on edge, scanning for signs of threats, but relieved to find none. The peaceful drive was interrupted when they came around the final turn of the back roads, heading towards the highway. Alvarez stopped in the middle of the road, gazing over at Cascade. "Well, that explains why he skipped over this stop," Alvarez remarked. They all looked towards the town, witnessing hundreds of creatures roaming around. The makeshift barricade on the bridge held firm, containing the rotted corpses of the citizens. "My God!" Acosta exclaimed. "We're in one of the lowest populated states, 100 miles from anything resembling civilization, and the town is completely dead." "Nothing we haven't encountered before, Acosta," Alvarez replied, trying to maintain a calm demeanor. "Yeah, I know Kansas had heavy resistance," she admitted. "But we're way out in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by even more nothingness, and the whole town is gone. It's just hard to fathom." "I know," Alvarez acknowledged. "Just makes you wonder if anywhere on the planet made it through this nightmare." Acosta suddenly turned serious, her expression grave. "Wow. Thanks, Sarge. Here I was just worried about the states, and you're here telling me the world is dead." Alvarez wasn't sure how to respond, but then Acosta cracked a smile, indicating that she was joking. "You're evil," Alvarez quipped. "Don't I know it?" Acosta replied playfully. "Come on, let's get up to our scout." Alvarez put the truck back into gear, but as they drove up around a curve, Private Leonard interrupted. "Hey, Sarge, hold up. I have an idea." Alvarez stopped the truck and picked up the radio. "What is it, Leonard?" "Come out here. Let me show you something," Leonard requested. "Slide over here, just in case," Alvarez instructed Acosta, who complied and kept a close eye on things. Alvarez walked out of the truck, heading back to the last one where Leonard was standing. "What is it?" Alvarez inquired. "You said to think like they do," Leonard began. "If I was going to stage an ambush, this is where I would do it. Blind curve, massive drop-off on one side down to the water, thick trees on the other side." "You want to stay behind and ambush them?" Alvarez asked. "Not exactly," Leonard clarified. "But I figured this might be a good use of some of that plastic explosive they sent us with." Alvarez considered the idea, looking over at the tree line and spotting a giant tree about 20 yards up from the blind corner. he started nodding. Run the tripwire at an angle, so they hit it and drive straight into the explosion, Alvarez suggested. That's what I was thinking, Leonard agreed. If it's just one truck, there's a good chance we take it out. And if there are multiple trucks, we slow them down again, Alvarez added. I like it. Make it happen. Leonard nodded and went to the back of the truck, banging hard on it to get Bradley's attention. Hey, Bradley, get your ass out here. Need a hand, Leonard called. Bradley opened the back of the truck, looking annoyed. You know, a simple knock would suffice. Yeah, just get me some C4 and a tripwire, Leonard requested. Alvarez walked over to the truck, examining their stash of explosives. How much of that stuff did they give us? Alvarez asked Bradley. A couple of pounds worth, Bradley replied. Good to know we can send somebody into orbit if we need to, Alvarez commented. We just need enough to take out a tree. Got it, Bradley confirmed. As Bradley began prepping the device, Alvarez and Leonard continued to strategize. You drove convoys over in the sandbox, didn't you? Yep, 3 tours worth, Leonard confirmed. If you hit an explosion on a blind turn like this, what kind of impact did that have on the rest of your trip? Alvarez inquired. Assuming the truck was still rolling, it made me think twice about taking a turn too quickly, Leonard admitted. I know these guys have military experience, but I doubt they're truck drivers, Alvarez mused. You were used to this kind of threat and still would take it cautiously. I bet they're going to double down on that. I'd bet that as well, Leonard agreed. So what are you thinking? Give it 5 miles or so up the road. Let them get around a few curves, okay? Alvarez suggested. Then set up another one of these traps. Just a small one, though. Only a small one. Yeah, I want the driver to live through it, Alvarez explained. Put the fear of God into them. And the fear of curves, Leonard added with a grin. Alvarez chuckled. That too. I'll make it happen, Leonard said. Once we get this one set up, I'll have Bradley prep another device. Good man, Alvarez praised. And if you have any other insights on how we can slow down their pursuit, I'm open to hearing it. I appreciate that, Sergeant, Leonard replied. Good to know I'm riding with someone who doesn't think their rank makes them superior to the rest of us. You have experiences that I don't, and I want to live through this, Alvarez acknowledged. You see something. You speak up. That's an order. Leonard half smiled as Bradley approached them with the device ready. All right, we're good to go here, Bradley announced. Give a call on the radio when you're ready to move, Alvarez instructed. You got it, Sarge, Leonard affirmed. The two privates headed off to set up the device. Alvarez walked back towards his truck, pausing to look over at the town of Cascade. He shook his head, reflecting on the surreal nature of their journey. Zombie-infested towns, setting up explosives on the side of the road, Alvarez muttered to himself. Not exactly the trip I thought I was getting when I signed up for this. Chapter 8. Alvarez led the convoy down the winding road, the sinking sun casting long shadows. Despite having set up traps along the highway, his eyes constantly flickered to the side mirror, or rather, what was left of it, still clinging to the battered truck. Private Acosta, her fingers gripping a bullet-riddled map that fluttered in the wind, glanced up from her struggle. The situation almost seemed absurd, earning a chuckle from Alvarez. This place can't be too much further up, she said, determination in her voice, refusing to let the map defeat her. Alvarez couldn't help but smile. There's only one road we can go on. I think we're fine, Acosta. With a hint of defiance, she straightened the battered map, finding her place and continuing. I refuse to be defeated by a map. As Alvarez chuckled and looked up, he spotted the sign to Donnelly on the horizon. The convoy came to a stop, and he hopped out of the vehicle, seeing Cillian emerge from behind the sign. There's our boy right there, Private Acosta remarked. Alvarez, his face carrying the weight of their recent ordeal, approached Cillian with a concerned look. Good God, what happened? Cillian's expression betrayed his distress. It's one hell of a story. Did you run into those militia guys as well? Cillian inquired. Alvarez, a mix of confusion and anger, shot back. You ran into the militia and didn't think to warn us. What the hell is wrong with you? They hit us hard in Horseshoe Bend. Henderson has a round in his shoulder, and I damn near got my head blown off. Taken aback, Cillian was visibly frightened by Alvarez's imposing demeanor. Acosta exited the truck and stood beside the sergeant, ensuring he remained under control, which seemed to ease Cillian's unease. Cillian, where did you run into the militia at? She asked. In Donnelly, Cillian replied. It was maybe an hour before I told you where I was. I tried the radio. I swear I did. But I was out of range. Alvarez, hearing this, softened his tone. So you didn't encounter them in Horseshoe Bend? Cillian shook his head. No, I just had to deal with zombies there. And I had my hands full with them. If they were there, I didn't see them. When did you first see them? Alvarez pressed. When I was making the path around Cascade. I spotted their drone, and right after that, they chased me here, Cillian explained. Are they still here? Alvarez inquired. Their bodies are, Cillian replied. Alvarez and Acosta exchanged sympathetic glances, recognizing the fear and pain in Cillian's eyes. Alvarez placed a reassuring hand on Cillian's shoulder. I'm sorry you had to take a life, Cillian. I wasn't much older than you when I had to take one for the first time. It can be a struggle. But you'll get through it, Alvarez reassured him. Cillian nodded, gratitude in his eyes. I know, and I appreciate it, but it was them or me, and I picked me. That's the right way of looking at it, kid. Was there anything useful on them? Alvarez asked. Cillian shook his head. Just their guns and ammo, which I figure we had more than enough of. Acosta chimed in. Did you check their truck too? Cillian realized he might have overlooked something. Just up the road here a bit. They were chasing me in their truck, and I hit the brakes and cut it into the woods. Not the most comfortable of rides, but better than getting shot. Alvarez took out his radio. We're checking something out. Copy that, came the response from Private Leonard. The three of them started walking down the road and soon spotted the militia's truck a couple of hundred yards away. Alvarez couldn't help but address Cillian's earlier accomplishment. So, don't take this the wrong way, Cillian, but you don't exactly strike me as the type who can take out two highly trained soldiers. Acosta jumped in, adding some levity. I think what the Sarge here is asking is, how did you do it without getting yourself killed? Cillian hesitated for a moment, reluctant to share the full truth about his encounter with Big Chief, but unwilling to lie to them in case they decided to investigate. They were chasing me through town, and I ducked into a shop. The shop owner must have thought this thing was going to pass, because they set up a booby trap, he admitted. A booby trap? Alvarez raised an eyebrow. Yeah, something straight out of Vietnam. Spikes on a log. The dude never knew what hit him. I managed to get his gun and got the drop on the other one, Cillian explained. As he recounted the experience, Cillian choked up a bit, the memory of the horrific scene still fresh. Acosta patted him on the back, offering support. I'm not a soldier like you guys. I mean, you two, not guys. Cillian stumbled over his words, feeling awkward. Acosta laughed, lightening the mood. It's okay, Cillian. I've been called worse. Cillian regained his composure as Alvarez stifled a laugh. Acosta playfully smacked Alvarez on the shoulder, silencing him. Anyway, I'm not a soldier. I know I got incredibly lucky with them. If that trap wasn't set by the store owner, then I wouldn't be here, Cillian admitted. Alvarez offered some words of encouragement. Don't sell yourself short, kid. You're a lot tougher than you think. Cillian nodded in response to the praise as they reached the militia's truck. Sergeant Alvarez gave it a quick once-over before signaling for the others to start searching it. Doors opened, and they began to rummage through the vehicle's contents. Costa tossed a canvas bag to the back, allowing Cillian to delve into it. For several minutes, they turned the truck inside out, searching for anything valuable. "Do you have anything useful?" Sergeant Alvarez inquired. Acosta humorously responded, "Sealed pack of bubblegum." Alvarez, despite the grim situation, couldn't help but crack a smile. "What flavor?" "Blueberry," she replied. "At least it's not a total loss," Alvarez remarked. Both of them chuckled as Acosta opened the pack and shared a piece with him. "Hey, Cillian, do you want a..." Acosta began but stopped abruptly when she looked back at him. His expression was one of terror as he stared at a map. "What is it?" she asked. "If I'm reading this right, they know where we're going," Cillian replied, his voice tinged with fear. Acosta rushed over and looked at the map, while Alvarez quickly joined them, flipping down the truck's bed to lay out the map flat. "Son of a bitch," Alvarez muttered. In one corner of the map was a large black mark reading C-team, and a yellow highlighted route from the factory, all the way to the Lewiston Bridge. Far to the north was clearly marked. "How the hell would they know our route?" Private Acosta wondered aloud. Cillian pointed to the corner of the map. "Look at the corner. It says C-team. Maybe they weren't the only scouts out here looking for us." Alvarez considered this. "That makes sense. They know we're going towards Seattle, and out in these parts, there's only so many ways to go, thanks to the rivers. Bridges are few and far between. If they were chasing Cillian, we have to assume they called it in," Acosta added. Cillian added, "Might be how they were able to ambush you back at Horseshoe Bend, if they saw me clearing a path. And if they were using a drone from far enough away, you'd never know it," Alvarez concluded. "We have to get moving," Alvarez decided. "Cillian, were you able to find a gas station for us?" "About a mile outside of town on the other side," Cillian confirmed. "You know how to drive?" Alvarez asked. Cillian nodded. "Then put your bike in the back of the truck and lead us to the gas station." They left the keys in it, Alvarez instructed. Acosta had another idea. "What about the town? Surely there's something there we could use." Cillian hesitated. "It's risky. If there was one booby trap, there could be others. Plus, we have everything we need. Food, water, and enough ammunition to conquer a small nation. Now, let's move. I want to be at the gas station before it's too dark out," Alvarez asserted. With a sense of purpose, everyone prepared their vehicles and started driving through the town. Cillian led them down a side street to avoid the two dead militiamen, not wanting to risk them stopping and discovering the axe wound. A few minutes later, they reached the gas station. Cillian pulled the pickup truck to the side, while Alvarez positioned the large truck by the pump, with the others lining up behind him. As soon as they stopped, Bradley, Fisher, and Wallace exited the backs of the trucks, moving swiftly with their weapons raised to secure the area. Fisher and Wallace entered the store, and a single gunshot echoed from inside. A moment later, Fisher emerged. "We're clear," he reported. Meanwhile, Bradley searched the back of the building and located a small generator. He started it up, and the pumps came to life. "Pumps should be on," Bradley informed them. Fisher went inside, operating the register to activate the pump. He gave a thumbs up to Alvarez, who began filling up. As this unfolded, Acosta entered the store, motioning for the others to gather at the counter, where she laid out the map and briefed them on the situation. While the others discussed their next moves, Cillian explored the store for something to eat. In the snacks aisle, he found a bag of spicy trail mix and grabbed a bottle of water before returning to the group at the counter. Corporal Fisher and several other men nodded in acknowledgement, and Fisher patted Cillian on the shoulder. "First two kills. Wasn't expecting that," Fisher commented. Cillian, still processing the events of the day, responded modestly, "You aren't the only one. Private Bradley chimed in, offering praise. Good job on finding the map, kid. You did good today. Cillian nodded, not accustomed to such compliments. Moments later, Sergeant Alvarez entered the store. Get what you can from here, he instructed. Alvarez continued. Should be another 10 minutes to get gassed up. Then we're on the move. We need to put some more distance between us and them before we take a break. Acosta chimed in. After looking at their map, there's a turnoff about 40 miles up the highway they have circled with a question mark beside it. If we get past that, put down some trees, it'll force them to investigate both routes. Alvarez approved of the idea. I like it. Cillian, willing to contribute, offered to scout ahead. However, Alvarez halted him. You've done enough for today. Gas up that truck and you stick with us, Alvarez directed. Cillian nodded, grateful for the consideration, and went outside to follow the instructions. Today had been tough, but he couldn't help but wonder if the challenges they faced were only going to get worse. With a heavy heart, he kept one thought at bay. What if today was the easy day? The end.